Hey, mate, how you doing?
Hi, mate, good, how are you?
I'm all right. I like this. It's 10:30. It's like just I'm normally going to bed. It's all right, and it's just kicked off. I see we've just announced one more. So I've just quickly got Google out. Can you tell me anything about him?
You got out of the bath now, have you?
I am out of the bath now. Yes, this is the joy of Twitter space rather than the podcast. I'm all ready for bed, mate. I'm just seeing what's going on. So
So while we're waiting for you to get out of the bath, mate, we've the club's just tweeted the third signing of the day, Liam Smith, on loan from Cheltenham Town until the end of the season. He's a right back.
I'll add him to my list. So he's the new Mishi, is he?
So they say, mate. Don't tell Sam that.
No, Sam, who can't even be asked to be here tonight because he's out on the piss. Leaving do.
Wait, I asked him a minute ago. He said he's absolutely steaming.
Well, that'd be two pints then.
Yeah,
but it's been was it just me and you last year when we did this?
Yeah, it's just me and you. We've got Rich. Rich is up with us at the minute.
Oh, youngie, how are you doing?
Evening, gents. Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. Have you been on Blundell Park Watch, or have you just been?
No bath for me tonight, mate. I've got an early work tomorrow. I've been watching a bit of the darts, and then just keeping, like everybody, refreshing Twitter all day long. And I tell you what, compared to last year, I seem to remember the last one was a bit of a panic, wasn't it, with the last minute loan signing. So the fact that we've got three in before half 10 is not bad going.
No, you don't. You probably...
It was a lot more of a chill day today, hasn't it? It's had that feel to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Seems that kind of, I think the names that were bandied about were certainly the first two, I think, seemed to be in the bag early. I think I think the reports were that they were yesterday training, weren't they? So, though Umberside are still kind of speculating, there could be two more. So we'll see.
I think one thing to remember in with the window, you're seeing it more and more at the minute, is players at our level getting the contracts cancelled on the final day. So although you have a sort of time limit, don't you, on deadline day, what you're seeing more and more these days is those free transfers going through a day or two after. Because on my feed, I've just seen contract cancelled after contract cancelled. So
yeah, and you can sign you can sign players past January 31st, can't you, when they're out of contract? So plus
March,
as well, like
time, I think March.
Yeah, and as well potentially. Players that we've got in can still go to conference clubs, can't they? So, there might be kind of scope for more players to go out after the window ends.
That's a shame. That's a shame if their movement's restricted downwards. I was thinking that some of them might get snapped up for championship moves.
Well, right. You're an ambitious man, Bruce. I give you that. It's speaking of championship, Bruce. So the transfer window started in 2002, 2003, and it was our last year in the championship. Now, who do you think we signed in that January transfer window?
Last season in the championship. When did Santos come?
Yeah, Santos is correct. Absolutely, Santos was signed.
How long have you known you were coming on? Have you just got encyclopedic knowledge of that period in our history?
No, I was just kind of. I thought, I wonder if there is anywhere online that shows that our transfer history. And I found on Transfer Market there is actually there's listings, and I'm not everything's accurate on here. For example, it says here that we signed Chris Kouamia at one point. I was like, I don't remember Chris Kouamia ever playing for us. It's got kind of a rough estimate of who we signed and when.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'll link you up.
How many more is there? Is that it?
No, I'll go through a few of the names. We re-signed Michael Baldin from Villa. One of John Oster's loans, when he got a loan from Sunderland.
He came back, didn't he? That's right. Yes. We said that if he didn't stay till the end of the season, did he?
No, he didn't stay to the end of the season. He went back in kind of like April time, I think.
Yeah.
And there was Richard Hughes, remember him from Portsmouth, long hair?
Yes.
No. I think he went on to play in the Premier. Yeah, went on to play in the Premier League, didn't he? For him, and that shithouse that was Michael Keane, the one that on the last day of the season, Brighton. I think we relegated Brighton, didn't we? Yeah, that's saying cut his ears.
We were relegated, and he celebrated it like he'd scored the winner in a cup final, didn't he? In front of it was nearly as bad as Isaiah Rankin against his own club.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for that kind of shithousery. Absolutely, more of it, please.
I'm just having a look, actually.
So before you two go too far down the lane.
Hang on. He sent me a message. He sent me a message earlier. He said, you host it. Me and you said about three words so far. Go on, Mike, sorry.
It's a bad idea letting you talk about stuff. Just let everybody know, listen, you obviously don't want to listen to us too much. So if you want to come on and have a chat about what we've done in the window already and the business we've done today, just request and then we can get you up, because it's all about hearing your opinions, not really ours, because we talk every Sunday and you have enough of that already anyway.
Have we got adverts? Has anybody sponsored this?
We had that Scandinavian fishing thing that gave us £12.50 once, I think. That was it.
Did we?
Yeah.
What we need to do is we need to change the podcast name so it's something that that you make a spelling mistake and it's like something that's actually quite popular. That's what we need to do.
Now, this is purely speculation. It's purely speculation, but Nathan Hill has posted on Twitter, Donovan Wilson to Crawley on loan.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Is he injured
at the minute, or is he fit?
He was on the bench on Saturday, wasn't he? But he didn't.
Is that coming back from injury?
Yes, I think so.
The week before as well. He was on the week before.
Him and Pike have done all right when they've played, haven't they? But we just can't get more than three or four games out of each of them in a sequence, can we? But I've actually done some.
They've both done all right. There's been a rumour all day about knocking about a striker going out. The only thing that concerns me there is one injury or one bad tackle away on Danny Rose to not really having a senior striker. So I would imagine we must be trying to bring somebody in, because that would leave us Pike, Rose and the lad from Coventry, who has got plenty of potential, but you don't want him leading the line if something has happened.
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, and Pike looks more like a wide player and he's been injured as well. So I would be concerned we're leaving ourselves a bit short there. So if that's happening, I would imagine we might be in for one more either tonight or as a free transfer at some point.
I'll tell you what.
I agree with that. Sorry.
No, I was just going to chat shit anyway, mate. I was just going to say that we're talking about the transfer window, but we have signed some injury-prone players this season, don't we, this summer, aren't we? You know, people that have got injury, all these ones that if you get them fit, they'll be fine. And a lot of them, we don't seem to have got fit all the way through. Sorry, mate, anyway, you was going to say.
Yeah, well, the only one, ironically, the one that probably we all thought would be worse would be Issa, and he's kind of seemed to have managed the whole season, only by one or two games.
Yeah, he did have his problems, didn't he? Do you want me to come back to the transfer window, Mike? Because I've actually done a little bit of prep tonight.
Come back to the transfer window. Why would you think that, mate, on transfer deadline day?
Okay. So
yeah, come back. Why not? Come back to the transfer window.
Here's Bruce's rapid roundup.
Be mental.
My rapid roundup then. We've got rid of somebody's gonna tell me I'm gonna have missed a bloody player. I know I am, but right, we've got rid of five players. Conte, Waterfall, Efete, Khan and Corey. Two on loan, but effectively Khan's gone. We obviously released Efete. He signed for Ross County today, which was widely rumoured when he left anyway. And obviously Waterfall and Conte have both left on permanent deals. And then we've brought in earlier in the window, we brought in Harry Wood, Justin from Coventry, the youngest just mentioned, or you just mentioned, Doug, who obviously made his debut last home game.
What are they, your best mates, Doug and Justin?
Doug Tham. The people have been on... People have been on social media all day, haven't they? They know what's going on. Doug Tham, then, sorry. From Blackpool on a permanent...
Too many names. Too many names.
Permanent deal for 2.5 years. He's aged 24. Is that better?
Yeah, right, okay, I can do that.
And then obviously we've just brought in Liam. Today we brought in Denver Hume, left back, till the end of the season on a permanent from Portsmouth. And
right, now that was not my fault.
Who mishit a button? What happened?
Carry on. Alex can put that together seamlessly on an edit.
I think they were worried that Bruce had a conspiracy theory and they thought they'd better cut him off quick.
Where were you, Bruce?
Oh. Mike, you're muted. I don't know if you realise or not.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to sort Bruce out. He's on, but he's not talking, which
all right,
is
okay.
Probably something we should savour.
Well, that's a good point, but it doesn't make for good audio content silence, unfortunately. So try to think of them sponsors, Mike. You know, if we're going to attract these big fishing companies back into the fold again.
There you go, Bruce. I've invited you to speak, mate.
He's gone to listener, according to this. What?
There he goes.
What earth happened there? I don't know, mate.
Well, I'm just sat here minding my own business. They want me.
Technical team, you said.
Right, where were you? Carry on.
Right, sorry.
It'll be seamless.
Sorry,
nobody will know.
Sorry about that, everybody. Where were we up to with the? Where did you hear me up to with the players?
You was on about your mate Doug.
Right, Doug Tharm. Oh yeah. Right. Okay. So obviously, I've had a little look. We want experience, and it looks like the main man that's going to bring us the experience is Thompson in midfield. He's obviously been given an 18-month deal, and he's played 250 career games at the age of 30, which, while it's not loads, is a reasonable number. The others have played... Tharm's played about 85 games at 24... Hume has played 80 games in total, but at a higher level. So he's been, you know, maybe by dropping down to this level, he's going to, you know, hopefully be a regular starter that's going to be a decent player. And then obviously the three loans are relatively, Liam Smith's not a young player, but he's played 250 games as well. But the other two are relatively inexperienced. So who excites you the most of today's signings, Youngie? Who do you want to see?
I'm pleased we've got an experienced midfielder in. I think the one thing that stood out glaringly on Saturday was that midfield was young, really young. And I know that Kieran Green looks like he's a veteran at mid-40s, but he's only like 25 or 26. And he hasn't actually had that much league experience in comparison to kind of a lot that we've had over the years. So I think we just desperately needed a cool head that perhaps can give us a bit of leadership, because, you know, you've talked about it quite a lot on the pod yourselves, and it's something probably that gets talked to like on Twitter quite a lot, is that there is a distinct lack of leadership in the squad. You know, you see how many times we've seen it this season where, you know, we go down and we just seem to lack fight and lack a bit of coordination. So I'm hoping he's the kind of player that can, you know, dig us out of the trenches a little bit and just kind of see us through this last part. I'm not sure about excited. Excited is a strong word, but certainly something that we needed.
I've seen, I watched the short interviews that the club posted with Hume and Thompson today, and they both, what I've written down for Hume, obviously, just a reminder, he's the left back from Portsmouth. He's keen to get back playing games, likes to express himself, thinks of himself as a leader on the pitch. High energy and wants to get up and down. So, you know, he sounds like somebody talked earlier that, you know, it was banded, might be looking at playing with, you know, three centre-backs. And playing with wing backs, because both, you know, both that he's been mentioned as a possibility for him, and he sounds like he wants to get up and down the pitch and even chip in with a few goals, he said in the interview. And then obviously Thompson also mentioned leadership, and he's obviously, like I say, he's the one that we're hoping is going to hold it together in the midfield, isn't he, like you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of, I've seen the reports on the full, on the wing back and, or the left back, should I say, at Denver. And a lot of the reports kind of seem to suggest that he's played most of his career as a wing back rather than a left back. So that, and I think, and it's interesting because you've spoken about Malarkey before, haven't you? And a lot of his career has been spent playing as the right of a centre back three. So I wonder perhaps if, yeah, that, you're right, Bruce. I wonder if that is in the thinking, that you could perhaps move Malarkey to that kind of right centre back position, and then play free at the back and just kind of shore us up a little bit, just to, like I said, just to get us through this season. Let's just kind of make sure we just stay up, get through this season, and then we can start worrying about kind of football philosophies and how we're going to kind of move forward from there.
He just looks uncomfortable, Malarkey, at right back for me a lot of the time. Sorry, not a lot of the time, but at times he looks uncomfortable. He looks unsure whether to stay or go, and sometimes he's a little bit like you say, he's almost in that right centre back sort of position, and he should be further out wide blocking crosses and getting to things. So it might be, like you say, it might be something to look about. As Mike mentioned earlier on, obviously, if people want to come on and speak, we'd love to hear from you, hear what you think. Just put a request in to speak, and because it's going to be a long hour or 45 minutes or whatever it is, if it's just us three waffling away. Mike, you got anything to add? Any messages on there? I can't see them on my phone. You got any messages to talk about?
Yeah, Ben DTFC says that Ben is doing some prep.
Has actually crashed the DN35 space, and I think we're all just absolutely shocked that you've done some prep. Really, all it is people just having a dig because we mucked the space up. Really, so Taylor says sack the production team, shambles. I agree, Taylor, shambles.
I think going back to what you were saying though, is we do have a problem in both fullback areas, don't we? Where they look like they can do well getting up the pitch and creating things further on. They all look like they need that right-sided or that left-sided centre-back to cover the gap behind them, though, don't they? So I am wondering, as you guys say, whether the easiest thing to do for now is to shore it up a little bit and go for the three or the five at the back, depending on how you want to, you know, what your mindset's like, and sort of go from there, as you say, build a base. And then, you know, the most important thing at the minute is to get to the summer as a Football League club, and then build again from there. One of the good things that has happened this window is we've managed to move a fair few on, as you said, Bruce, and a few of them you'd imagine, not on rockstar wages, but, you know, Waterfall and Card, you'd think, would probably on a few quid. So hopefully that's giving him a bit more of a head start in the summer. But I'd say the most important thing, just get through to that summer window as a Football League club.
Yeah, completely agree. Go on, Youngie, sorry.
Yeah, it looks like it's confirmed. BBC Radio Surrey Sport are reporting that Crawley are signing Donovan Wilson until the end of the season. So it looks like that's going through.
I hope we've got a can't play against us clause in there. Imagine him and Orsi last game of the season and we need something.
Oh, and he celebrates, well, we just talked about it earlier, he celebrates Isaiah Rankin style in front of the town fans.
I just see Orsi piggybacking him towards the town fans.
Oh, that's every town fan's nightmares for the next 3 months now before that game even happens.
No, we'll be well safe by then.
Absolutely. Well safe.
But like Mike says, though, you would think that there'll be, you know, you would think there's got to be somebody earmarked to come in still, if that's the case. But what I tell you, what I did notice, which is quite interesting these days, which I think is different to days of old, that that Thompson and Smith have both played a reasonable number of games this season for their clubs, and yet they've been allowed to leave. I think, especially particularly Thompson, I think he's played over 20 games this season for Cheltenham, and then the same with Smith; he's been involved in 12 or 13 games, I think. So it's not like they're just, you know, they're complete bit part players, especially Thompson. It's a bit of a strange one, that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's different from years gone by, isn't it, where we're scrapping around for development loans and things as the players we're bringing in have got a decent amount of football behind them as well. One thing that was interesting, I thought, mentioned a few times in this window about their players we've been in for before. So obviously some continuity in the recruitment team and building those relationships in the summer and not quite getting them over the line. But then that's helped coming into January. I think Hume and Thompson are two players that we were, apparently, I think I heard them say in their interview that we were at least in conversation with in the summer. So obviously it shows us more of a joined up strategy to recruiting these players as opposed to, you know, the Mikey O'Neill's coming in at last minute.
Yeah, he's obviously, yeah. And the thing is as well, he's obviously been identified by the recruitment guy. You know, and he's still on the radar, even though we've changed manager.
Just before we move on, Bruce, we've got Show Yourself Mr. Jasmine that's popped up as a speaker. Hello there, mate. How you doing?
Hi, lads. Yeah, good, thank you. I'm not sure if it's already been spoken about. I was listening, and then when I put on speaker, it jumped forward about 5 minutes, I think. But one thing I did hear...
That's lucky for you.
One thing I did hear was, if we stay up, we are staying up. No doubt about it in my mind. So I just want to pull that out, first of all. A bit positive.
I think that might be the town pessimist in us.
Who said if we stay up? Was that which one? Who was that?
That might have been me. I do apologise.
Oh,
I know. Let the side down. Sorry, let me down.
Man.
Let me in for 1 week. Yeah, I know.
You want to see? You want to see Sam on the podcast chat on the WhatsApp at the minute with Lewis Hamilton and what else is it, Mike? Oh, Hurst went, didn't he? Then Hamilton. Yeah. Now Fete's gone and on his telly team. He's in bits every day. It's just like.
I can't wait for Sam to go on the Ross County podcast now. He's going to be on there every week, isn't he, on Mishi Watch?
Well, he'll have plenty of time after the election, won't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, let's cut the crap. We've got a guest speaker. Carry on, mate. Anyway, what else did you have to say?
Like a lot of town fans, you know, it's been up and down since Arteta's come in, but not under this guy. He's under my own name on Praise and Grumble. I've recently posted about what I think we've achieved under Arteta, which is actually better than what we achieved previously under Hurst. So I've got faith in the guy. He's got my backing for now. In terms of what we signed today, I'm not going to be one of these town fans who pretends that they know everything about every single league player and that they're a brilliant signing or not a brilliant signing. I don't know. I don't know until I witness it firsthand. I don't know. But on the face of it, I'm all for signing League One players. That's got to be good. Before I came on as a speaker, I heard a little bit about what we were saying about perhaps Glennon and Malarkey and how we're vulnerable down the sides. And I agree that we are. And I apologise now if it's been mentioned before, but I'm not sure we're playing potentially either of those players up to now in their preferred positions. I'm not sure if Malarkey actually is a fullback or whether he's a centre-back.
He did say a couple of weeks ago, I think it was after the Salford game, that he hasn't played, I think he said any or many, but he hasn't played very many games at most at right back. He's usually right side of centre back or a right wing back. So you're right there. A right back in a back four is something he's not done a lot of in his career.
That was a good time for him to speak about it, though, after our only clean sheet in the last 30 games, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
We need to stop conceding goals, don't we? That's what we need to do. Bloody hell!
But I mean, it does. It makes me wonder. I mean, hopefully, you know, the two fullbacks that have brought in today are going to be better than what we've got at fullback. But I don't think it's necessarily a criticism. Potentially, if they're being played out of position, Glennon for me has never been a fullback. He looks much better going forward than he ever does at defending, and. But I wonder, and maybe this is something to just discuss slightly, but where does that leave them to? Because for me, they don't have a place now.
Well, there's been whispers about Amos, hasn't there? That, you know, people have been on some of the forums that I've seen, people have been talking about whether he's one that's been told that he can move on, whether that's true or not. You get these rumours, you don't know until it actually happens.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
We're we're certainly carrying three left backs now, aren't we? At least until the end of the season.
I think the position we're in, Bruce, is that we've got two right backs and two left backs, because I think Amos is going to leave. Malarkey obviously has played as a right side of centre back, so that's an option. So, but we've obviously got the two players in there, and I think Hume hasn't played a lot of football this season, so I don't think he's going to go straight into the side. But I agree with what you say, mate. I think Glennon looks a lot better going forward than he does at the back. And I've said for a while that is it worth a look having pushing him up a little bit and just seeing how he gets on as a winger. You know, it's worth a look. But obviously, you've got to think the two lads we've brought in are going to be the preferred choice in those positions.
So effectively, we've had problems at the back, and we're looking now like I think from the start of the window, we're only going to be playing Mara or Rodgers of any of the back four that have been playing.
I think you've got two boxes.
Well, it's been that bad, hasn't it?
You've got loads of them. It's important, that one, because that's your morphine.
Well, we've done. What have you done there, Mike? You've unmuted 3Q. How we doing, mate? All right. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hiya, mate. Can hear you now. How are you doing? All right.
Very well, mate. How's yourself?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. What are you making of today's ins or the windows in and out? Not just today.
Well, to be fair, mate, I think the best comment tonight is from Jason complaining about the electricity bill. So, I mean, that really sums up. I mean, I don't even think John Fenty stooped to those debts, really, do you, to be honest?
Disgraceful behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah. Makes me sick, Pete. Makes me sick.
Rich, honestly, I couldn't believe it tonight. Honestly, he's really, you know, when we're trying to bring the town up, he took us down to a level where we all know we are. But back to the transfer window, I think it's been a solid window, to be honest. I mean, at the start of the week, let's face it, Monday, we started with nobody wants to play for us in the squad. Tuesday, we moved on to, you know, Alex Hunt was leaving. And everyone seems to have forgot about him. You know, I mean, everyone sort of says, including me, I think Alex Hunt is a player we should build the side around. Yeah, however, he flatters to deceive every single time. But I still think there's a player in there. We've got rid of fullbacks. Let's be honest, Artell this week has gone about things. You know, I tweeted earlier, he's got rid of more blokes than Katie Price. But I think he's looked at the squad. Every fan at some point has tweeted about Mishi, who I liked, or Danny Amos can't do that. Glennon, in my opinion, he could play further forward. He could. I mean, defensively, you know, he, I don't think that's the strongest part of his game. But when he's bombing forward and delivering crosses, I don't think there's anybody better at BP this season. So, you know, in terms of what we've got, I'm optimistic. We go into Saturday with a team that none of us really know that Artell's going to pick. So when we start, it's going to be a completely new start for everybody.
Accrington have got no chance of doing any sort of scouting report on us, have they?
I don't think so, mate. No, to be fair, it's almost like, to be fair to Stockwood, it's like, the analogy I give it is, it's like your missus has decorated the house in August and you've spent all that money and then you've come back in January and she's gone, you know what, I don't like it, we're going to start again. Because that's basically what he's done with the side.
Oh, I know that feeling.
or Mike, you've walked to the cricket club and you've come back and someone's put a bush in the way where there wasn't one before when you're walking home.
Yeah, possibly that. But I think it's been a decent transfer win. I'm surprised that Rich has said that Wilson's gone. I mean, you know, that does leave us a bit short now. The lad from Coventry we've not really seen. So, you know, I don't, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on Danny Rose because let's be fair, who have we seen this? If Danny Rose is injured for the last 18 games of the season, you tell me a town fan that could say who's going to play at number nine for us at the minute.
Yeah, you haven't got one. I mean, we said a minute ago, at least Pike, who's been injured a lot, he's looked good, but he's looked good playing as a wide forward, for want of a better word. And then you've got the young lad from Coventry that's untested. So, as we said earlier, it leaves us massively short, which is why I'd be surprised if if not tonight, if not in the next few days, there's somebody that comes in as a free agent, because we're one bad tackle and that's all it is. It's some prick with a bad tackle and then that's it. You've got no focal point for the rest of the season. And then you've got massive problems. I know players like Easton Vernon can play up front, but that's not on their own. They can't. So, I would be amazed if we don't see another body coming in, whether it's tonight or the next few days, to cover that. Because I'd be surprised if we let somebody out if we hadn't got something sorted.
Yeah.
Someone on one of the town socials tonight said that Danny Rose flatters to deceive. And I don't think I've seen a worse take in the last 6 months than that.
Mate, all I'm going to say is he's been down Freeman Street for the last 6 months out of his mind, if that's what he's saying about Danny Rose. I mean, there's no
other... It's out there, you'll easily find it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's complete nonsense. Danny Rose has been our best player.
Just giving the Man of the Match award at the beginning of the match.
Yeah, but it's not been difficult. Let's be fair. If Stephen Hawking had played up front with Danny Rose, it'd give us more movement than we've had this season. And you know, we have, at the start of the season, when the squad that was assembled, in my opinion, you know, was a lot of Town fans sat there and thought, that is a team, that is a squad that could make the top six or at least the top 10. God knows what's happened, because we have been up and down all season. And some of the performances... I mean, last Saturday was probably the worst performance I've seen from a Town side in a long, long time. So, you know, and Artel took some criticism. But let's be honest, when do we start pointing the finger at players? And looking at this transfer window and looking at the business that Town have done, that's exactly what Artel's done. He's looked at the squad and said, you're not for me. And I guess ultimately we're all going to find out, you know, at the end of April, early May, whether he's right or not.
Yeah, Pete, it's absolutely spot on. Ironically, I thought we were actually better in the 6-1 loss than we were on Saturday. And the one thing that sticks out, and I said about it earlier, is the absolute lack of character this team has had all season. The amount of times when the chips have been down where I don't see anyone on the pitch G'ing up the lads, I don't see anyone grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck and going, come on lads, we're in a bit of a hole here. Everyone just seems to go inside themselves when anything is going wrong. The only time I've kind of seen a little bit of character is the closing bits of the Notts County game, really. But generally all season, we've seen the writing on the wall. When we've gone 1-0 down, we pretty much know the game's over.
Rich, we're taking 1,000 fans again on Saturday. You know, I mean, and I'm not bigging us up, but for Christ's sake, you know, it's sort of like the board have backed two managers, and they have. You know, you cannot point the finger at Jason Stockwood or Andrew Petty. All right, I've seen some comments about, are they out the depth? Is it naive? I don't fucking think so. You know, you appoint a manager to pick a team and you support him, and that's what they've done. So, you know, we can't keep blaming Hirst, you know, for Hirst's results. We can't. We've got Artel. Artel's with us. And regardless of, you know, I don't like the fact that we're trying to pass out in the 6-yard box. I don't think that works for us. We're not a Premier League club. And it's sort of, you know, if we're giving the ball at the moment, God forsake, to Rodgers or Malarkey, I don't think they can find a ball. I don't. But Artel has got his way of playing. And hopefully he has now assembled players that he feels can play the way he wants to play. Because I was at MK Dons and he had 20 minutes with them or whatever it was before the game. And I thought at MK Dons, Jesus Christ, this man's going to turn us round. After last Saturday, I walked out the ground thinking, could Hirst have done any worse than what we've done today? And I think that's where we are as a team, not as a club. As a team, we're so up and down. I don't think any fan knows what's going to turn up Saturday. From week to week, I don't think any fan knows what we're going to produce.
You say, Pete, that it's not, we can't keep blaming Hirst, and I'm not, but we signed these players in the summer, most of them. You know, you don't do your best business generally in the January transfer window. That's generally sort of relatively short term, we need this, we need that. It's, you generally do your rebuilding in the summer, and a couple of you have just mentioned the lack of character in the squad, and that is very un-Paul Hurst-like in a team. You know, they never know when they're beaten. That was only 2 years ago, not even that. Mm-hmm. You know, and they never know when they're beaten. And now we, you know, like you just said, we concede a goal, or Youngie just said, we concede a goal, and we look like we're done. So, but hopefully, you know, recruiting two or three that look like they might be characters might just tip the scales in our favour. And I can't go Saturday, but, you know, I'd like to be there, because you just, like you say, you just don't know what you're going to, you know, we've got these new players. We might have three or four making the debut on Saturday. And that's always an interesting time to go and watch.
I agree with you, Bruce. I just think, as a fan and as Town fans in general, if Artel keeps coming out every interview and going, I've only been here 6, 8, 10, 12, and we've only got 18 games to go. So if we're 4 games to go, he's going, I've only been here 22 games, lads, and we need 7 points to stay up. It's not going to wash. You know, the chairman's appointed a manager to make an impact, and that conversation would have been, at the time of appointment, here's the squad we've got. Do you think you can make an impact? He's obviously said yes, but we need to make changes. So Stockwood and Pettit have said, we'll support you on that, and they have in this window. So, you know, at the end of the day now, players have to take responsibility. The manager's got what he's wanted from the board. There's 6,000 of us turning up, you know, to watch what is shit at times. It just is. Like, let's not say it any other way. 6,000 odd of us turning up, 1,000 of us going away on Saturday. You know, at some point, it's, you know, the manager can't keep saying that. The club can't keep saying that. We need results, and we need to stay in the Football League. And I agree with the last listener. I think we will, but my heart's saying that. My head at the minute is saying, if we need to score more than 2 goals every game, I just don't see it.
Do you know, I think this window sort of typifies what went wrong, if you want to use that sort of term, in the summer, because I think most of the signings in the summer, you could argue, have had an impact and have done well. And I think a lot of the problems we've got is because players that were already here have either took a step back or not been as they were last year. But I think what this window shows, where we're looking at defence and defence midfielders, where we're making those additions in the window, I think it shows last year our problem was we didn't score enough goals. And I think in the summer we've gone, right, what do we need to fix? We need to score more goals. We need to play a more progressive type of football, get up the pitch and score goals. And we've done that to some extent. And we've sort of gone away and forgotten that other side. You know, so we started this year, and you would never think a team that starts a season under Paul Hurst is lacking leadership or defensive solidity. And that's what we are lacking. So I just wonder, in the summer, have we gone a little bit too far and sort of forgot our basics, so to speak? And I think that's why now you see in this window, it's all about defence and that defensive midfield area. I think that's what it shows.
I think that's a really good point.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point, because we can, you know, if you look at the players who have actually gone from Town in the last, you know, couple of weeks, with the exception of Conte, which we had no control over whatsoever, they were players, they were established players that were already here, that have played a season or two or more, in the case of Waterford, for Town. It's not a case of the players that we brought in last summer who have moved on, or that we, that, I mean, let's be honest, we raved about some of them players in the summer. They were good signings, and they continue to be. Like, you know, I all right, he can flatter to deceive at times, but I like Issa, and they're not bad players. So we did sign well in the summer, but I struggle to put what's gone wrong, but for some reason it hasn't gone right consistently, which we all hoped it would. I think it's a good point you made about it. The blame doesn't necessarily lie on what we recruited in the summer, but the blame might lie with what we already had.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think Conte going, you know, look, at the risk of being shot down by everyone listening, I think he's had about 6 or 7 good games. And I think if we got good money for that lad, and the lad that's coming from Cheltenham, who's got good experience, played at League One, by the sounds of it, from Ben Davies, does everything that Conte does, we've had a right result. You know, we have. You know, and on top of that, we've got ourselves a 2 other additions, and you know, the centre back. I'm not sure with Tam. You know, I looked at him on Saturday. I know he scored, and I know it's his first. But did you see anything better that we already had? Really, did he sort of really impress you when he was on the pitch? So I'm hoping he gets better. But. You know, in fairness to Artel, he's made decisions. You want leadership, and he's come in, and he's, no matter what you think about him or no matter what anyone said, he has shown leadership. He's got rid of people, sold one, had candid conversations with others that he didn't think was going to play, and he's brought in players that you would expect to start on Saturday and be a regular part of the next 18 games. So fair play to him. You know, he's rolled the dice. We've got to get behind him, and we've got to see what happens.
I think the players we've signed permanently, 24, 25, and 30.
Yeah,
they're not young lads, are they?
These
are players that should come straight in. All right, like I said, Tharm and Hume haven't played a lot of games in their career, but they've played nearly 100 each, and at a higher level. So, you know, now's their time. This is their time, isn't it, to come into a team where they're going to have the opportunity to be regulars and to really show what they can do. And hopefully it starts Saturday. Just, I mean, we've obviously the 5 of us have had a good chat. There's lots of 145, 150 people out there. If anybody else wants to come on and have the say, then you know, by all means, just give Mike a nudge and just hope that he doesn't press the wrong button again.
You see what he did there? Just blame me for something that wasn't my fault. I was good at that.
Well, I'll sign off now, guys, and let everyone else have a chance. But let's hope we get a positive result on Saturday, and good luck with the rest of it.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for coming on, Pete.
Cheers, Pete. Up the Mariners.
What is everyone's predictions for Saturday?
Tough one. I think we're going into a bit in the unknown, aren't we? Because like Pete was saying and stuff, we generally don't know what these players are going to be like. We don't know how quickly they're going to fit into the team, who's going to start or what. We don't particularly have a great record at Accrington. Beside that season, the relegation, the classic comeback in the relegation season, I remember going there and losing 4-1. I believe once, and I mean, then my car broke down on the M62 on the way home. That was a glorious day. So they're doing all right this season. So yeah, I'd gladly take a draw on Saturday. What about you, gentlemen?
I think I'd always take a draw away from home when we're in our position. One thing I haven't noticed: have we got the go to sleep tweet yet? Does anybody know if we're done or not? It's usually you get that, you know, you get something saying, right, bugger off, go home, don't you?
Not yet. No, nothing's come through yet. I keep refreshing Twitter, but nothing's come through yet.
Lisa's still listening in the office on the club Wi-Fi, so that gives us a clue.
No, I mean, on Saturday, I think at this level and in the position we are, we're always happy with a draw away, especially after what's happened. I mean, I'd take a 0-0 because that's a clean sheet and it shows you may have sorted a few issues out, but you've got to go into each game now and try and get as many, you know, try and impress yourself as much, because, you know, there's players in that team that nobody other than Rose, I think, has nailed a place down. So whoever he selects in that team, they've got to be using it as a, something to themselves, saying, right, I've got to go and impress and get myself in this team now. So I'd hope a lot of the players would take that sort of challenge on and try and go away from home and get another win. But yeah, I'd take a draw all day long, to be honest.
I think it's going to be an interesting watch, though. You know, like you say, you know, it's always nice to, or it's always interesting to watch new players, isn't it? And I know Pete said about, he said about Tharm, didn't he, a minute ago, but I don't think you can see a lot in one performance, especially a bad performance like the team put in on Saturday. So I think No, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens on Saturday. It'll be interesting.
We've got nobody else.
2-0 to Town. 2-0 to Town. That'll do. That'll do. We'll get Liam Smith bombing up from right back. But
just one thing on one of the things we did. Obviously, Evan Corey went out, and he went out to Spennymoor, which I think a few were surprised at the level, because I think we all believe he's above that level. Interestingly, he's only for a month. So do we think the plan there is to get him out, get him some game time, and then hopefully he's involved in the run to the season? Because that will be, hopefully if he can come back having some game time and some good performances, that'll be like a new signing, because he's not featured much this season. And the lad's obviously got a lot of potential.
Yeah, it's been a funny one with Curry, hasn't it? Because I thought when Artel came in that he would get looked at and looked at pretty quickly, but he's barely featured in any of the squads. I think he's had maybe one substitute appearance under Artel since he's come in, which whether or not he thinks he's not ready, maybe he's not big enough, maybe he lacks the technical kind of ability yet that Artel is requiring from a midfielder, I don't know. I think I heard from a good source that there was a loan move for him to Dagenham lined up, but it fell through. So I don't think Spennymoor was kind of the number one choice for him to go out to. I think the hope was that he'd get a conference team and kind of have a decent run there. But I think they'll probably look at it in a case of Spennymoor is better than nothing, and it gives him a chance to play a bit of man's football. And because that's one thing, even in the few years he has been here, I don't think he's had any loan spells out, has he? Bearing in mind he's come straight from the academy. I think even in the promotion season and the relegation season, I don't think he kind of went out anywhere. So to get a run of games is going to be crucial for him.
Yeah, I think somebody the day posted, I don't know where, about how many games he'd played at his age. And like they went through all the other players, had like Conte and Clifton and all these sorts of players. And, you know, they played a lot more games of football than Evan has. So, yeah, he needs to get out and get some game time. And I think Artel said a couple of weeks ago that was the plan after speaking to the agent. Next step is he needs to get out and get some proper consistent game time.
I'm just refreshing. I'm still refreshing.
You've got a new speaker, mate. Three Fish has come up.
Hey, mate, how you doing?
Hi, chaps. It's Dave Dixon, otherwise tweeting under Three Fish banner.
Hey, Dave, how you doing,
good,
mate?
Thanks. My biggest gripe last season on this very call was the rash of young loanees at the last minute, which we've not seen this time. And that just gives me a bit of confidence that Artel's actually getting stuck into the real issues, and it was good to note that the lad Thompson from Cheltenham describes his physicality as part of his game, which I think really was sadly lacking at the weekend. I think it was something that was spoke about after the game. And I hope the other two guys, having played at a higher level, you know, have got that sense of physicality, because I think some of the challenges we're putting on the other teams under, or pressure we're putting on the teams under in the challenges, certainly weak at the weekend. I just wonder what you guys thought.
I certainly think like we said earlier, I think the age thing, Dave, is quite key for me. The especially the ones that we've signed permanently. I mean, I think that Hume is a player that interests me. Again, I watched his interview earlier, and he came through at Sunderland. He's been there since he was a kid, really. So he's been at Sunderland and Portsmouth. I mean, that's a pretty good. It's a pretty good sounding ground, isn't it? I mean, all right, like I say, he's played about 80 or 90 games, but now he's dropped out. This is the lowest level he's dropped to. Yeah. If he can come down here and you know, show some of what he's been doing at a higher level, then you know, we should get a good player, shouldn't we?
You get the feeling that's more workmanlike, don't you? And I think just to stick up a little bit for Doug there, I mean, the previous caller mentioned about his, was he really an improvement on what we've seen? In fairness, it's one game and it was a bit of a shit show anyway. So I think we might cut him a bit of slack. And he did score as well, give him his due. But no, I think overall, I'm really, really happy. And I agree with you guys, mentioned earlier about Donovan Wilson going to Crawley is an indication that we might, you know, might have something up our sleeves after the deadline, maybe with a free agent. So that'd be an interesting one, and certainly would be light if we haven't got something up our sleeves. I think the other thing with Wilson was I'm really impressed with him when he's played. He's got plenty of goals for the amount of time he's been on the pitch. But as you mentioned earlier, Bruce, he's not spent much time on the pitch, which has been the biggest challenge. I think he's got six goals and he's only started six games and a few sub appearances. So I think we've really struggled to get the value out of his time on the pitch. So it'd be interesting to see how much he plays for Crawley.
Has Wilson gone to Crawley? I've completely missed that.
Yeah, he's gone on loan, mate.
Sorry to break it to you so brutally.
It was brutal as well, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We can pass on Sam's number privately if that helps.
He's got
if you could.
He's lost Lewis Hamilton today.
The only thing is, Bruce, his therapist is busy at the moment because Sam's booked him out.
Sam spent all day trying to learn Italian, I think.
But it's funny though, when we talk about Accrington and where they're at, but I think somebody tweeted out the club tweeted out this month's fixtures, didn't they? And you know, there's a couple of tricky games, but you've got, you know, you're away at Stanley, home to Stockport, away at Colchester, home to Donny, they're an absolute shit show, and you know, they're in dire straits at the minute. Away at Morecambe, and then at home to Forest Green.
Yeah.
Start of March. You know, yeah. There's you really should be picking up a solid what, 9-10 points from those six games.
Yeah,
you would hope.
It'd be nice to think we'd be in the position to be sort of half killing off Forest Green by that point, wouldn't it? It'd be nice to think. We can't get too far ahead, but that's the dream.
Don't you think though, Dave, that it's like a you know, we're 8 points above or whatever, and we're all looking down. But you know, you could win on Saturday, and you're 11 points off a team that's only picked up 20 points in 28 games. You know, it's like double digits just would make all the difference, and I think would make everyone just stop looking down so much and start thinking, right, we need to get back amongst. You know, we've got this pack in front of us that are 4 or 5 points ahead of us at the moment. You know, let's get them caught up and getting amongst that lower mid-table pack and get away from the bottom.
Absolutely, Bruce. Absolutely. Right. Three points changes everything.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, some of us, it's maybe the time we've followed town and, you know, you're just thinking, here you go again. But, you know, 8 points is a decent gap. And, I think sometimes we think that's a smaller gap than it actually is. And, you know, you look at teams like Harrogate, who, you know, before Christmas were in and around us. So you put a couple of results together this time of the season, and then you looking around and thinking, well, what were we worried about? So I think it's vital at the minute to kick on and just sort it out and get ourselves away from having this conversation about relegation. If we get a couple of wins, then we're laughing.
Take Tranmere, couldn't buy a win, been below us all season. They're 8 points in front of us now, and you're thinking, how's that happened? But it's only because they've had a string of a few good results put together and a bit of form and catapulted them. And the other thing is, we've got, what is it, something like 18 games left? And to be safe, we only need to get another, 18 points, six wins, probably do it. That would give us the most points that anybody's not gone down on in the last 4 years. I think we in Southend were the highest point scorers in the last 4 years to go down from the division. It's been significantly less than the others. So, you know, it would take a particularly disastrous run to do that. So I think you're right, Mike. I think, you know, we've got to get away from this and have this reset as a real positive. And I think it'll improve some of the guys, freshen up some of the guys that have been off form, a bit like Rodgers started well. And he's really looking a bit all at sea at the minute. So it'd be nice to think he'd get a bit of a boost and a refresh with better players around him.
Yeah, firstly, on that kind of point you're saying about needing minimum points, you're probably right. In fact, we're probably going to need less than that because it would take some effort from Sutton and Forest Green to get to anywhere close to kind of 50 points. So I think you're probably right in that
scenario, though, don't I?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I remember the year I kind of go back to is the the Slade year where we didn't win in 20 odd games, did we? And suddenly we went from a comfortable mid-table team to being one game away from potentially getting relegated. But I think you're right. I think this has been it's been a reset without being over the top, I think. And we've seen it before. I mean, the Big Knit year is a prime example of that, or even the COVID season, where we've had to literally make wholesale changes in one transfer window. And by the time you gel players and by the time you bed them in, it's too late. It doesn't kind of feel like that this time. I think I think the changes have been subtle enough anyway. And let's be honest, probably the players that have gone, maybe barring Donovan Wilson, you probably would have expected to be gone in the summer anyway. All we've done is just let them go 6 months before the time. Yeah. I would imagine.
Just on that, Rich, it's not that open heart surgery that we've had in the past, is it? And I think this window wasn't about that. It was about some key solid additions in key areas. Because, you know, since Artel's come in, we're a team that scores goals. You know, and whenever we've been in trouble before, we've never been a team that scores goals. It's always been, you know, you can't score. So teams that are able to put attacking phases of play together and score goals generally are all right. So I don't think it's on the same level as we've had before, needing all those mass changes.
So look up, not down.
Absolutely. One thing I just read on Twitter, which I think is a good, very good point, that might have an impact if any more signings come in. We have now hit 5 loan players. So if we are going to make any more signings, it could well be that they're going to be either permanent or certainly free transfers coming in, because we're at 5 loan players now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Just going back to your other point about how we get so negative, I'm a bit older than some of you guys, and I probably remember some even worse seasons where I remember one season we were 8th. I think we beat, this was in the old Championship, so we beat West Brom around Easter time. I think it was 12 games left, and we went down because we got like 2 points out of the last 12 games or something ridiculous. It was under Mike Lyons. Bruce would probably know best. But we've had some particularly catastrophic failures over the years. It does wear you a bit after a while. So it's no wonder we're like that sometimes, is it?
Sorry, Bruce. Yeah, I was looking back on my Facebook history the other day, and it was from a transfer window, and I think it was close to 10 years ago, and it was me celebrating the fact that we'd signed Jamie Devitt and Richard Brody on the same day on transfer window day, thinking that was the greatest. I know. There was me thinking, oh, that's it now. We're going to walk the league. Look what happened there.
Championship in 5 years.
We're all scared, aren't we? We're all scared.
I really do wish the club would tell us we could all go home.
Well, maybe we call time on this anyway. We've had a good chat, haven't we? We could sit here all night, and then
I'm getting up for the cricket soon.
But no, I think it's been good to talk, and I think we've had a good. You know, I think on paper we look like we've had a solid end to the window. Yeah. And I think it gives us all some optimism that we're going to head in the right direction, shore it up at the back, keep scoring the goals, and game's easy, isn't it?
If you want to end on something that's not optimistic, there's a lot of chat about crew are about to make a signing, and it might be Kirk.
Right, Mike, fuck off.
Good night.
Fucking hell. Right, all right, yeah. Cheers, thanks for that. Right, marvellous.
No worries, mate.
Cheers, Bruce. Thanks for having us on.
Remember when Churchill did that speech? It was all dead rousing and that. Nobody came on and nobody came. Well, you know, nobody came on and but he screwed that over, did they? Cracking on the radio.
Oh, quick
breaking news! Breaking news! Hitler's making a sign in.
Yeah, Hitler's just brought out a new tank.
Quick weird one for you. Did anybody pick up on Mikey O'Neill for Burnley?
Yes.
I tell you what, and Hoodlin went to Burton. There's two people who got the best agents in football.
I know.
But what about Fishmonger's fall from grace?
Yeah. Where's he gone?
Boreham Wood.
Oh, God.
Really? Bloody hell.
To Peterborough and back. Right, lads. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, Mike, can you fuck it up again and make it finish?
don't start. Put with you twice this week, let alone just the once on Sunday.
Thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll catch up with you on Sunday.
Cheers, guys. Up the Mariners, everyone. Cheers.
Up the Mariners. Bye, boys. Bye.
Bye.